It's a joy to be here this morning. I think I was here a year ago this date. How time flies, especially the older you get. Time flies real quickly. I'll not ask you to stand this morning. I know y'all like to stand for reading the text, and I'm just going to read a little bit and preach a little bit until my timer says I'm done. I had a young preacher ask me not long ago, he said, "You always take that timer up there and notes?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "How come?" I said, "So I'll know when the sermon's over." I've heard a lot of preachers preach way beyond when the sermon was over. I like to quit when it's over. I have been for several months now meditating in the Psalms, and I have been drawn, of course the old timers call this God's hymn book, God's hymn book, and I've been drawn to a collection of Psalms. There's six of them. One of them, Psalm 16. And then there's a cluster of them, Psalms 56 through 60. They're called Miktam Psalms, Miktam Psalms. They're all written by David. And it is in these Psalms that he sees a different facet, side, the magnificent diamond that we call God. He's so amazed with him, he just keeps seeing different sides of his being. Amen. The word God just doesn't really explain God. And I'm interested this morning, once again, just to read a little bit and preach a little bit, in Psalms 57, this Miktam Psalm. It is here that this is a hymn of God. When David was forsaken in a cave, David has been running from Saul. This psalm is said in 1 Samuel 24. The title of the psalm clearly tells us, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said he believed that the titles were as inspired as the text. I agree. He says when he fled from Saul in a cave. He was down at Engedi. David had about 600 men inside of a cave. Saul came along with 3,000, not an even match. Unless, of course, you was to have God with you. And the Bible says that Saul went inside to relieve himself. Went to the bathroom. Surrounded by 600 men. They told him to kill him. Here's your chance. But he cuts the bottom of his robe off. And immediately, David is struck with the thought that God has left me. He feels forsaken. That is the setting of this psalm. The little facet of the diamond of God that I want to share with you today. I know when I say it, it's going to say, "Oh, it's so elementary." But it is the most powerful truth in all the Bible. Here it is. Maybe way over your head, maybe too deep for you to even get. But I'm going to give it to you. God is with us.
Amen.
It is not a feeling.
David, you break me. I just feel like God's left.
Him leaving you is a feeling. Let me tell you about the fact. Amen. God is with us. Amen. It is impossible for God to ever leave the redeemed. Amen. He has never been near the lost. He's always with the redeemed. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Why don't stop right there and shout? And some of you never even said amen. I'm reminded of the old man and old woman out riding one day. And she said to him, she said, you know, she says, I remember when I used to sit over there close to you and put my arm around you and whisper in your ear. I love what he said to her. He said, I ain't moot. It may be you feel like God has forsaken you this morning. I assure you, if you're redeemed, he has not moved. It is you that has moved. God is with us. As we begin to unpack the text this morning, I am drawn to the title, To Be Observed When Forsaken. It says to the chief musician, David has written this. He has given it to the choir director down at the temple for public worship, public consumption. He says that it is a Al-Tashath psalm. I was extremely interested in that little word. This little word is stamped on this hymn, Al-Tashath. The little word means do not destroy. It is a keeper. David thought this psalm was extremely important. Don't get rid of this one. And then he calls it a Miktam psalm. There are six of them. Psalm 16, then this cluster, 56 through 60. Was extremely interested in the little word Miktam. It means to engrave in the mind by singing it over and over and over and over and over. How do we learn our hymns? Because we sing them over and over and over. And if you've been coming to church for a little while, you don't even have to get your hymn book out because you already have it engraved in your mind. You want to sing it going down the road. You want to sing it around the house. David said, engrave it upon their minds. Old Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, if I can't preach the gospel to them, he says, I'll sing it into them. I love that, don't you? Title, To Be Observed. When you feel forsaken, this is awful deep. I don't even know if you probably have to go get your doctor's degree in theology to get this. If you feel like God's forsaking you, try singing. Try singing. A couple of these songs we've sung this morning, Victory in Jesus, songs like that. God has not gone anywhere. God is with us. Please forgive me. It didn't dawn on me till this week. I've preached this message a couple of times, God is with us. And it struck me, that is the little word, this is really deep. This is the little word, Emmanuel. The whole, not just God's with me, the whole triune Godhead's with me. God the Father's with me. God the Son's with me. God the Holy Ghost is with me. It's a fact. It's not, oh, David, I just feel like God's a million miles away. No, he's not. That's a feeling. Here's the fact. God is with us. David feels forsaken. Is touch God's anointed. I notice not only the title to be observed when forsaken, but I notice the trouble that overwhelms when forsaken. Notice David mentions in verse number 1, a place to run in trouble. When you feel like you've been forsaken, He says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. The Hebrew literature says that when the writer mentions a phrase twice in one sentence of this magnitude, he is at his wit's end. He can't take anymore. Matter of fact, in the middle of this little phrase, he says, oh God. Whenever there's an O in the Psalms, it is a place of desperation. David feels like God has forsaken him. I tell you, if you're sitting here this morning and you feel like God's afar from you, may I encourage you to do this? Oh, God. Oh, God. Here, a place to run. He says, for my soul trusteth in thee. Hey, David, what you gonna do when you feel like God's forsaken you? He says, my soul, my inner man, will trust in you. I was interested in that little word, trusteth, that David uses there. It's an old Hebrew word. I don't know that we use it much anymore. I don't even know that most of us, including me, would be interested. The word literally means to put the nose in the dirt. Put the nose. I tell you, preacher, I'm a trusting God, upright. Maybe not. Real trust, nose in the dirt. Amen. I was reminded of that recently. I heard a testimony, an old testimony of Adrian Rogers. He's one of your old Tennessee preachers, oh, yeah. Memphis. God used him so marvelously down at Belleville Baptist to start Mid-America University. When he was 18 years old, he went back to the football field that he had played so much during his high school days and had scored so many touchdowns on that field. He said one late night, he stood in the middle of that field, lifted up his hands, and he said, oh, God! I give myself to you to do with you, with me, whatever you want to do. Amen. Nothing. Adrian said he didn't feel nothing. He says, I kneeled in the middle of the field. I cried out again, oh God, do with me whatever you want. Nothing. Adrian Rogers said he didn't feel nothing. He says in the middle of that football field, he said he took the grass and dug him a hole out. Put his nose in that dirt and cried out again. Adrian Rogers said God so filled him with the Holy Ghost that night, he said he never got over it the rest of his life. Amen. David feels like forsaken. What are you going to do, David? I'm going to put my nose in the dirt before him. Place to run. He says, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. David said, I'm going to trust. I'm going to hide underneath your wings. I'm going to make it my hiding place. Hey, David, how long are you going to stay there? He says, until this passes, till all the calamities are over. I was studying in Ruth some time ago. You remember that night she went down there after barley harvest, laid down there at his feet. I'm not a foot person. I don't have any foot fetishes. I've never seen any pretty feet. He been working in the fields all day, harvesting barley. She goes in there and lays down at his feet. Can imagine what that was like. And the Bible says that he took the skirt of his robe and throwed it over her. I was looking at that little word skirt. I like to have a spell. The little word skirt that's used there in Ruth is a little Hebrew word for wing. He had done thrown his wing over her. Oh, when you feel like God has forsaken you, it is but a feeling. The fact is, God is with us. He has covered us over with his wings. We can dwell in the secret place of the Most High, but we might have to get low in the dirt. Sense his presence. There's a place to run. But I notice in the text, there is a performance to reflect on in trouble. You say, preacher, why in this world would I want to put my face in the dirt before the God that is with us? David says in verse number 2, he says, I will cry unto the God Most High. You feel like God has left you. Here is a very interesting thought. I don't know if you've ever tried it or not. Talk to him. That's what David does. He cried unto the deep theological. Man, I'm just giving you deep theological truths this morning. Talk to him. Pray. Well, what in the world would I want to do that for? He says, unto the God that performeth all things for me. That little word performeth means to perfect, to bring to a completed end all of my needs. I'm telling you this morning, the God that is with us is the God who can take care of every situation you'll ever confront between the cradle and the grave and beyond. You know, sometimes I get back to the motel and I say, man, I wished I'd have told him. Man, that's so good. And you folks are so good. You've been so good to me over the years, and I didn't want to forget to tell you. So I want to tell you again. Did you know that God is with us? Oh, it's so good. It ought to be worth somebody just say glory. Hallelujah. God is with me. Not just us. Me. Oh, the trouble that overwhelms. Not only is there a place and a performance, but I notice there is a promise to rely on in the trouble. While David is praying, feels like God's left him. He's touched God's anointed. While he's talking to God, while he's praying, he enters into one of God's grand and marvelous promises. Yeah. He says in verse number 3, he shall send from heaven and save me. Wow. Oh, to think this morning that we have got a God who will interject himself into every situation in our life. I was interested in that little phrase, he shall send from heaven. It means to come with outstretched hands. God says, all you got to do is call me if you got a problem, you feel like I've left you. He says, just holler my way. He says, I'm coming with both hands to work it out. Amen. I love that, don't you? Yes. The little phrase, God shall send from heaven, the little phrase means to hack a trail through a very wooded bush country. Here, God says, I'll come. And I'll hack down all the debris so that you can make your journey on further with me. Did I tell you? God's with us. He is Emmanuel, the God who never leaves us. He says in verse number 3, he shall send from heaven and save me. That little word save means to be liberated from trouble. He said he shall save me from reproach of him. That little word reproach means to take one from a winter season to a continual spring season. God is interested in putting us in a place that can help us. He says in verse number 3, He says, they have sought to swallow me up. That little word swallow means to cut off my breath. Oh, the enemy that today seeks to cut off our breath. Then David closes out verse 3 with a little phrase, Selah. Interesting way to close this section of the verse, Selah. It is a little phrase for a pause note. It's a high note. Choir directors that use their hand, they would have a whole note. And in this section here, it is not holding the note for bass singers. David don't want no bass singers singing this song. He says, I want them gals and boys that got them high pitches, those sopranos. He says, I want them to hit this high note, Selah. The little word means to change the focus from a downward focus to an upward focus.
Yeah, right, amen.
See, whenever you feel like God is forsaking you, all you can do is look down and around. But oh, if you realize the fact that God is with you, He is Emmanuel, you must look up.
Amen.
You must look up.
Yeah,
I don't even know if you could get this or not. If you look around, all you do is worry. If you look up, all you do is worship. Isn't that deep? Preacher back home said several years ago, one of his sermons I was listening to it, he said, sometimes I'll watch Fox News 30 minutes. He said, I'll feel like either getting the gun out and putting it in my mouth and blowing my brains out, or run up and down the front of the street hollering, Jesus is coming. It'd probably be better for us to just take some time and look up. Pause and look up. I notice not only the title to be observed and troubles that overwhelm, but I notice in the text there is trials that oppress when forsaken. There is the passion of the oppressors. And David says in this psalm, he says in verse number 4, he says, my soul is among lions. And these people of Saul's, they're vicious people. Isn't it Peter that told us that Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Young people this morning, Satan wants to eat you alive.
Amen.
Wants to devour you.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Aye, preacher, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That may be true, but he can make it hell for you while you're here.
Amen.
If you don't realize God's with you.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
He says, my soul is among lions. He says, I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men. That little phrase, sons of men, is a demonic term. He says, the Saul's men, they're vicious. They're very vile. They're like lions. Passion of the oppressed. I believe most of our battles today are unseen battles. I'm afraid most of us Baptists, we spend all our time fighting battles we can see. I'm going to stand against that. Oh, there's a far greater battle to fight, and you can't see it. Our battles are not with flesh and blood. Our battles are spiritual. Passion of the oppressed. But I notice this in verse number 6. There is the pit for the oppressors. David says, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. There he is in that dirt again. Nose in the dirt. They have digged a pit before me. Into the midst whereof they are...
I love the hound out of that. They dug a hole for David and they fell in it themselves. The devil has dug a hole for us and one day he's going to drop in it himself. along with all of his wicked cronies. I love that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Pit for the oppressed. And notice the person to be lifted up in oppression. In verse number 5, David sees his enemy going down to hell. They're falling in the pit. He stands over the top of the pit and begins to lift up God as high as he can lift him. He says in verse number 5, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." David is lifting up God. He is exalting God. I long for the day when we'll see all of our enemies in hell, and we will exalt the God who has been with us the whole trip. I love that, don't you? What a stop and shout. David feels forsaken, but I feel like at this point in the Psalms, verses 1 through 6, I don't think David's feeling lonely anymore. I believe he's caught wind of this thought. God is with me. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. Could you say with David this morning, I'm not asking if you've been down to Romans Road, to German Road, or to French Road. I ain't asked you if you've ever prayed the sinner's prayer, joined the church, been dunked in a baptismal pool. Hell will be full of people that did all of the above. I asked you, can you say with authority this morning that God is with you? I know it for a fact. I have seen him with me. I love that, don't you? Oh, we ought to just shout. I notice last of all this morning the triumph that overcomes when forsaken. Notice in verse number 8 the persuasion for the triumph. David says, "Awake up, my glory. Awake, palestry and harp. I myself will awake early." It seems like David has been wrestling spiritually. He's wore out after showing Saul the bottom of his robe. Seems like David and his men slip off to the side. And he tells God, he says, "God, I'm wore out. I'm going to go to sleep." And he says, "When I wake up, I'm going to give you glory." Wow. I was reading a story a few weeks ago about a rooster in the barnyard. And he told the other barnyard animals, he said, "Did y'all know that the sun comes up every morning to hear me crow?" You feel like God's left you? Go to crowing about him.
Amen.
And the S-O-N will come down on you. Matter of fact, I was wondering, when is the last time, if there has ever been a time, that you have just had yourself a good old-fashioned crowing session about God is with me? I can assure you that the crowing session would not look like this. No, 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 no. It may look more like this. God is with me. David says, "I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm tired. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to go to crowing." I'm talking about the persuasion for triumph. I notice the practice in triumph. He says in verse number 9, "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people." He says, "I'm going to go over to the temple. I'm going to go over to the temple and I'm going to praise you." I was interested in that little word, praise. It means to throw out loud words of thanks while both hands are in the air, palms extended upward. David says, when I get over to the temple, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you. I don't know if I've seen anybody too much this morning have a crowing session. You listening to me? Because God is with us. He says in verse number 9, he says, I will sing unto thee among the nations. He says, not only am I going to do it over here, he says, I'm going to do it out there. Sing unto the nations. I'm amazed, of course. I watch people during the services, get a little feel of things. I'm amazed at people that don't ever open their mouth during the singing. I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. I tell you, preacher, I don't have any ability to sing, so I just don't sing. Can you make noise? The Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Noise is, if you can make noise, you can sing. Those around you may not have enjoyed it, but you are crowing, and you never can tell the S-O-N may come to the pew where you're sitting. I love that, don't you? He says in verse number 11, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. He says, I'm going to crow. I'm going to give you glory here. I'm going to crow here. I'm going to crow out there. I notice last of all, there's a position in triumph. David tells God as well as his men. He says, I don't know about you. He says in verse number 7, my heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Would you say this morning that your heart is fixed on God? Heart this morning is not that thing bumping inside of you. I hear people all the time, give God your heart. What in the world would he want your heart for? Most of us need open heart surgery and don't even know it. You think he's got a room of heart? Oh, look at all the hearts. No. He says in the Old Testament, as a man thinketh in his heart. So if my heart's fixed, I must give him all my thoughts. Could you imagine if some of you were to give him that thought you're having this morning that you wished I would hurry up and shut up so you can leave? Wow, we could have a revival if you would just give him that thought. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Give God all your feelings. Can you imagine this morning the ladies or even some men with their mood swings was to give that feeling to God? He says, as a man purposeth in his heart. Do you imagine what would happen, young people, if you were like Adrian Rogers and you gave God all your doings? Do with me, God, whatever you want to. My heart is fixed. David is crowing. I was thinking again this morning. I thought it was interesting. We started this service with a lady crowing. I want to end this service talking about this lady that crows. Her name is Fanny Crosby. We started this morning, she was crowing about Jesus, keep me near the cross. Did you see that? Four times in the verses she talked about, she said, I'm trying to get as close as God as I can. And then the crazy nut, did you notice what happened to her in the course? She got so close to Calvary, the thing swallowed her up.
She goes from getting near it to being in it. She done got eat up with Calvary. Wow.
She lived over 150 years ago. And I was watching an old Western. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. The Western came on with one of Fanny Crosby's songs as the back music. Several times during the Western, it played again. One occasion, one of the cowboys in the Western sung Fanny Crosby's song. I said, glory to God. I said, this woman has been gone 150 years, and here in a Western, she's still crowing. I wonder if anybody will be crowing about your crowing 150 years from now if Jesus doesn't come back. I'm going to tell you something. They won't be crowing about this. No! The song I speak of is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. He said Fanny Crosby wrote so many songs during her life that she most often forgot that she had written them. Yeah. She would be in a church service. They would be singing a song. She would lean over to a friend. She said, man, she said, that is a good song. Friend would lean back over, Fanny, you wrote that song. I did. I forgot I wrote that one. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture. Blind lady, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. I love this verse. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Have one of them sealer breaks. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Has there ever been a time you got so filled with the goodness of God, got so lost in his love, that you had to go to crowing? Fanny said, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. David felt somewhat like he had been forsaken until he realized the fact. I didn't want to forget to tell you, God is with us. Preacher, it's yours.
Amen.